Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And we'll get to that in just a minute. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me, and all my heart was full of misery and woe. But Jesus placed His strong and loving arms about me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. Now every day He comes to me with new assurance, and more and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Isn't that the truth? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for His love for us. Be honest with you, I don't fully understand that. Because I know what I am. Amen. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what a joy it is to know that. Amen. Acts chapter 27. I want to give you a message this morning that I pray will be an encouragement to you. I've heard y'all have been have quite busy week ministering with the family here, loss of a loved one, and just reaching out. So I appreciate you being here this morning, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will take His word and minister to our hearts and lives this morning. As I told you last week, I've been raised in church. I was going to church 9 months before I was born. Been in church all my life, and I love church, but I understand very clearly that church and religious activity has nothing to do with the fact, first of all, that God loves me. Whether I'm in church or not, God loves me the same. And that's hard for my human mind to kind of wrap around, that what I do or don't do doesn't affect God's love for me at all. Isn't that awesome? The Bible again says, while we were yet sinners, Christ proved His love to us. And when we had no thought of Him, He was thinking of us. But what an honor it is to serve Him. Amen? And once He has saved us, we have a desire in our heart to worship Him, to serve Him, and to serve those that He loves, other people. So what a joy it is to be here this morning. And I've so appreciated being with you these last 2 weeks. It's been a joy. And I love your pastor. Brother Danny is a sweet, dear friend. And you are so blessed to have him and his wife here. And I'm glad that you are honoring them this coming Sunday. And I promise I won't tell. So if he finds out, it wasn't me, all right? But in Acts chapter 27, we have a story here. If you're able to stand, would you stand in honor of God's word? I'm going to start reading in verse 14. Verse 14. But not long ago, after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when we had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor star in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Have you ever been there? But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Understand, nothing has changed. The wind is still blowing. The hopelessness is still there. Be of good cheer. I love it. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray, Father, that you would take your word and minister to our lives today and encourage your people. And Father, if there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they would see that need today and come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The context here. These brave sailors were in a storm that seemed to be so overwhelming. And in an effort to save that ship, they cast four anchors into the sea. And sadly, those anchors proved to be ineffective against the storm that was hitting the ship. However, on board that ship was a man named the Apostle Paul. And he was a very special man for several reasons. Number one, he was a child of God. And number two, he was a man on a mission. God had called him to do something. And thirdly, he was a man of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Bible says. And fourthly, he was a man in fellowship with God. And because of who he was, Paul was anchored in the midst of this storm, even when the ship itself was not. And I tell you what, life hands out some hard stuff. It really does. Have y'all figured out that life isn't fair? It really isn't. And yet, God is faithful. And that's what we see in this passage of Scripture. Those sailors threw out those anchors to steady that ship which failed. But as I read this text, I see that in Paul's life, he too had four spiritual anchors. And those spiritual anchors were able to hold him and anchor him in the midst of this storm in his life. And that's what I want to discuss with you this morning, because I believe with all my heart that God offers to us those same anchors. We have before us those same anchors as God's people, that when life comes at us and the rug is pulled out from under us and life comes at us with all its vengeance, we can be anchored in the midst of it all. Look at verse 23. First of all, we see the anchor of God's presence. The anchor of God's presence. Even in the midst of this raging storm, folks, Paul found that he wasn't alone. Amen? The Lord came to him and ministered peace to his heart, a peace that passes all understanding. Where does that come from? It comes from God. And regardless of the storm that tosses in your life and in my life, if we have that same confidence that Paul had with his relationship with God, that he has promised never to leave me, never to forsake me, even when I cannot feel him, I know he's there because he's promised to be. I have the presence of God Almighty in my life. Matthew 28:20. Is giving the Great Commission. But at the end of that, he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." There will never be a place when God is not there. There will never be an instance in your life as a child of God that you are going through, no matter how hard it is, no matter how dark it is, that God is not there. I tell you, that encourages my heart. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." David said in Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." Even when death is knocking on my door, I, as a child of God, have no reason to be fearful, because God is there. Amen? What an encouragement to know that we will never face an instant in our life without Him. Every step, every valley, every mountain will be graced with the presence of God. The blessed footman, Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The blessed footman of God, goodness and mercy, will follow us wherever we go. You know, it would be a blessing to enjoy that manifest presence of the Lord like Paul did. But when you and I cannot see Him, we can still know that He's there watching, leading, protecting, simply being God. Amen. I was reading a book from Dr. Tony Campolo, and he gives a story in that book that kind of made me laugh because it reminded me of my mom. But when he was just a little kid, his mom used to pay a girl a nickel a day to walk Tony to school as a little kid. But Tony rebelled in the second grade and told his mother that, "I want to walk to school myself. I don't want no girl walking me to school. That's embarrassing." And so He said, I'll tell you what, I'll be extra careful, and you can keep, you can pay me a nickel a week and keep the other 20 cents. And so you come out 20 cents a week ahead, and I don't have a girl walking me to school. And after a period of pleading and begging, little Tony finally got his way. And for the next 2 years, he walked himself back and forth to school. And it was about an 8-block walk. That was a different day, wasn't it? And he was careful, and he didn't talk to strangers and so forth, and everything went good. Well, years later, they were having a family gathering, and here he's grown up, has a family of his own, and they're all kind of hanging out at mom's house. And Tony starts to reminisce about this story and how he got his way back there in second grade and how he was able to take care of himself. And he was kind of bragging, you know, about how good he did. And his mom started laughing. And when he asked, he said, Mom, what are you laughing about? She said, did you really think you were alone? She said, every morning when you left for school, I left with you. I walked behind you the whole way. He said, when you got out of school, I was hiding in the bushes, and on the way home, I was following you all the way home. She said, Tony, there was never a moment that I wasn't there. You know, that's the same way with the Lord. There are times, and I admit it, there are times in our life when you wonder, God, where are you? But I can know based on the Word of God that even though I cannot feel Him, I can know that the presence of God is there. When I can't track Him, I can still trust Him. Amen? The strong anchor of the presence of God. Friend, I tell you, when life comes at you, and it is, you're either this morning coming out of a storm, smack dab in the middle of a storm, or about to go into one. That's life. But in the midst of all of that, there is an anchoring truth for a child of God. And that is, God is here. God is here. Verse 24 and 25, we see the second anchor. And that is the anchor of God's promises. You see, Paul weathered that long, terrible storm, and the Lord came to him with a precious promise. He reminded Paul that he was on a mission, that God was sending him, and that he had to stand before Caesar. And he said, Paul, that's going to happen. I'm here. And he said, you're not going to vanish. You're not going to die today. And neither is anyone else on the ship. Now, the ship's going to wreck, but everybody on board is going to be okay. And for Paul, just having the Word of God was enough. Amen? Because, again, when he was trying to encourage the others, the circumstance had not changed. When he's up there saying, be of good cheer, it was still hopeless. It was still blowing. It was still dark. The ship was still rocking like crazy. Nothing had changed. The only thing that had changed for Paul, he had heard from God. And I tell you what, dear friend, we have in our possession the precious promises of God's Word. And we as the children of God can go to God's Word. And you know, there's a lot of things in this life that we cannot depend on. But I tell you what, you can always depend on the Word of God. God will never act contrary to His Word. Amen? And He has so many precious promises in the Word of God that we can stand on. Just like the old hymn says, standing on the promises of God. We can do that knowing that God is going to keep His Word. Amen. For Paul, just having that promise was enough to anchor him and give him blessed assurance in the midst of that storm. Why? Because he knew God was as good as his word. Romans 4 and verse 21 says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Amen. Romans 3 and verse 4 says this, "Let God be true and every man a liar." I tell you what, whenever people, and there are some good people who may stand and disagree with God's word, and I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're wrong, because God's word is always right. Amen. I can stand on the word of God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says that it is impossible for God to lie. Notice what promises. These are just a few in Scripture. We have the promise of brighter days. In Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5, "For his anger endureth for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." I'm thankful that this life isn't what it's all about. I don't know about you, but I'm not living for this life. I'm thankful for the blessings of this life. I'm thankful for the presence of God and His sweet Holy Spirit that helps us walk, and He directs our steps, the Bible says, because He has a mission for us to do while we're here. But I tell you what, I'm not living for here. This is not home. One day I'm going to be home, and I can lay it all down, and all the work will be over. And thank God I won't have to worry about that anymore. But I tell you right now, I'm thankful for His presence, but I'm also thankful that this isn't what it's all about. Brighter days. We have the promise of deliverance in Psalm 34 and verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." I don't know anybody that has this verse as a life verse. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." But notice the second part of that verse. "But the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Amen. We have the promise of everything is for our good. Romans 8 and verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." And then the verses that y'all are very familiar with, in verse 28, "And we know," not "we hope," we guess. It says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that are to them that love God, and to them that are called according to His purpose." What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? I tell you, that's a great, great truth. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." It kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week. Sometimes that pruning process, you know, it's painful sometimes. Sometimes it's a hard thing to go through. But God's not messing with us. He has a great plan. He's trying to bring us to a place where we're bringing forth more fruit. And so God allows things into our life sometimes that are painful, but we can always know that God is, if He's for us, who can be against us? And He's on our side. So even when I don't understand what's going on, I can know that God is in control, and that He's got my good in mind. Amen? You say, "Jimmy, I don't understand that." I don't either. But I'm glad I have a God so big that I can't figure Him out. I'll be honest with you, if I could figure God out, He'd be a puny God. But His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen? God is God, and we can trust Him. We have the very great promise of divine grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9. "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is after Paul had continually asked God to heal him of this infirmity that he had. And God basically told him, no, I'm not going to do that. I've put that in your life for a reason. And Paul said, listen, if I can glorify you by having this ailment in my life, then let it be. We have the promise of ultimate glory in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are passed away. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. There is a day coming, church. If you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there's a day coming that we will go home. We'll be in heaven forever. And all the funeral homes are going to be out of business. Amen? There's no graveyards in heaven. Never have to say goodbye again. I'm thankful for that truth, that promise. His promises are based in and on the Word of God. It is pure, it is inspired, and will stand when the world's in flames. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. How many of y'all have ever read the classic Paul Bunyan, Pilgrim Progress? How many of you have ever read that? Well, the main character of that book is a man named Christian. And he's on his journey to the celestial city. And Christian finds the pathway difficult, and he climbs over the stile to walk in the meadowy bypath. And eventually the ground grew soggy and covered with poisonous vines, and the sky became black. And Christian spent the night huddled under the foot of an oak tree. And then he was caught in a downpour of rain. But the next morning, the giant of despair came to him and captured him and beat him and imprisoned him into the dungeon of the doubting castle. Are you getting the picture? And with its grim battlements and thick black walls, Christian tried to sing, but he couldn't. His mood was dungeon dark, and the giant of despair beat him mercilessly, and he grew weaker each day. And at length, he found in his cell a rope, a knife, a bottle of poison, all tools of suicide. And for a moment, he was tempted to end his misery. But one evening, about midnight, he began to pray. And little before day, good Christian, as one half amazed, broke forth with this passionate speech. And he said this, "What a fool am I, thus to lie in this stinking dungeon, when I may as well walk at liberty. I have in my bosom a key called promise. And that key will open, I'm sure, any lock here in the doubting castle." And it did. Using that key of God's promise, Christian escaped never again to fall into the clutches of the giant of despair or the doubting castle. My friend, listen, there are times when life comes in upon us, but I am so thankful that in our bosom is the key of promise. God's Word is true, and whatever the world has to throw at me, I can go to the Word of God and find out a promise that I can stand on and I can anchor down on. This morning, some of you may be going through a storm, maybe wrestling with some things, and it's discouraging, it's drawing you down. I would encourage you to get a promise from the Word of God and just anchor in and let God do something in your soul. You know, it's human to get discouraged. But it's sin to camp out there. Amen. Because we have a way out. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and anchor in on the promises of God. I'm thankful that we have the anchor of God's presence. I'm thankful that we have the anchor of God's promises. But thirdly, look at verse 24. We also have the anchor of the providence of God. Paul is told by the Lord that this storm is a part of God working out a plan in Paul's life. You see, at that moment in time, that storm was the safest place in the world for Paul to be. Think about it. Smack dab in the middle of that hopeless storm is right where Paul needed to be. Because God was going to use that storm to wreck that ship, to bring them to an island where he needed to be. It was all in God's plan. Because he was in the will of God, God was working in a mighty way in a situation to bring about his will in Paul's life. Again, even when I cannot track God, I can trust him. Did you know that God is doing that very same thing in your life as well? It may be simple faith on my part, but I believe that God is sovereign. And that simply means this. I just believe that he is in absolute control of what happens in life. I don't believe God at any point has ever been caught saying, "Really? Did that happen? Where'd that come from?" I don't think God was ever caught by surprise. Amen? I like what the old preacher said. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Amen? God knows what's going on. Isaiah 45, verse 7, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." God is in control. Listen to the testimony of James in James chapter 1, verse 17, concerning the sovereignty of God. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the fathers of light, Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." You know, if I didn't know that God was on the throne, I wouldn't want to live another second in this world. But I tell you what, I'm at peace because I know God's in control. I turn on the news and I get frustrated and I get, you know, I said, "What in the world are these idiots thinking?" And I get all frustrated and then I have to come back to the truth. Hey, God's in control. Amen. In Mark chapter 6, verse 45 to 50, we have a story of some disciples who God sent. The Bible says in verse 45, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida. While he sent them away the people," he had just got finished speaking to this great multitude, and so he sends his disciples across the water. And then he sends the people away and then goes in the mountain to pray. And if, as you read on in the story, those disciples, once they get out in the middle of that water, a storm hits. And again, it's a terrible storm. It's a frightening storm. And they begin to fear for their life. But let me ask you something. Who sent them there? Jesus did, right? They were right where God told them to go. And now this storm is hitting. What's going on? Well, God's trying, he's got a plan. And later we see where Jesus is walking out on the water. Here the water is, the wind's blowing, the waves are rocking, and Jesus, the very thing that was bringing fear to the life of those disciples, Jesus is walking on it. It's not freaking him out, amen? And he's walking out, and this is where Peter begins to cry out, and this is the story where Peter walks on the water. But we also see where Jesus said, "Peace, be still," and the waves calm down. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the very thing that may bring fear to your heart, that thing that's shaking your world, it's not freaking God out, and he's in complete control, and at any moment he can say, "Peace, be still," and those waves will lay down. If he's allowing that storm to rage in your life, it's because he has a reason. And we need to be faithful to say, "Lord, I trust you. Though I do not know what's going on, though I do not understand this situation, I know you. And I trust you. And Father, don't let me miss what you're trying to teach me in this storm." God is faithful in the storms of life. He knows what is best, and he will send that and allow that in our direction. The best thing that we can do when the storms rage about us is run to him for refuge. Amen? Psalm 57 in verse 1 says this, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. And yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Isaiah 25:4 says this, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall." I like that old song, "In the dark of the midnight, as I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. In the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by." Amen. I'm glad that as storms of life come at me, that I am safely kept in the hand of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for that truth. Emperor Charles V was trying to assassinate John Brentz, a friend of Martin Luther. And he heard of the plot just in time, barely in time, to grab a loaf of bread and duck into a neighbor's hayloft. There he hid for 14 days as the soldiers were rummaging through the town trying to find him. And there for 14 days, that little bit of bread that he grabbed was gone quite quickly. But the Lord began to send him a hen every day, which would lay an egg for him. And though it was raw, it was enough to keep him alive. And on the 15th day, the chicken didn't show up. And the reformer wondered what he was going to do. But from the street, he heard the cries, "The cavalrymen are gone at last. The cavalrymen are gone at last." God had sent a hen to preserve the life of one of his children. In a similar way, a dog provided the need for another reformer, John Craig. He was arrested during the Inquisition, and on the eve of his scheduled execution, Craig was able to escape, and he was fleeing across the Italian backcountry. And he ran out of food and money, and suddenly a dog approached him with a purse in his mouth. And Craig first was trying to get rid of the dog because he was afraid that his scent would bring the people to him, and the dog would not leave. And finally, John took the purse from the dog's mouth, and the dog left. And in that purse was enough money to get him out of the country. God used a dog to help one of his kids. Similarly, Robert Bruce of Scotland was running for his life. This is one of my favorite stories. And he's fleeing his prosecutors, and he ducked into the small cave, and immediately a spider spun a web over the opening of that cave. And shortly after that, Bruce's pursuers fanned across the landscape, knowing that he was close by. And these two men approached the cave, and one was about to enter, and the other one saw the spider web. And he said, "Don't go in there." He would have had to break that spider web to get in. He said, he's not in there. And they continued to go on. And Bruce prayed this prayer, "O God, I thank Thee that in the tiny boughs of a spider, You can place for me a shelter." Honestly, who do you think told that spider to spin that web? You say, "Jimmy, you're dreaming." No, I'm telling you about a God who's in control. Nothing is surprising Him. And He loves you. He wants what's best for you. The Bible says He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God's not messing with you. Amen. He loves you. And anything that He is allowing in your life, there is a reason. And you can trust Him with it. Raymond Edmond, in his book, Quietness and Confidence, says this: "First, He brought me here. It is by His will that I am in this straight place. And in that fact, I will rest. Next, He will keep me here in His love and give me the grace to behave as a child of God. Then, He will make this trial a blessing, teaching me lessons He intended for me to learn and working in me the grace that He means to bestow. And lastly, in His good time, He can bring me out again. How and when? He knows." He's basically saying this: "I am here by God's appointment. I am here in His keeping. I am here under His training. And I am here for His time. And I can trust Him." That's the kind of confidence, folks, that will let you shout in the devil's face while the storm is still raging. You see, Job lost everything just like that. What did he do? "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." I can guarantee you, Job had no clue what was going on. He was doing everything right. And yet, he understood something. God is bigger than this. And whatever's going on, even though I do not see it, although I do not understand it, I do know God. And I'm going to trust Him. "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That was his response. Wow. Lord, give us a faith like that. Amen. Notice this. that even after Paul had received a great promise of the Lord and he had shared it with the guys on board, those guys were still working hard at trying to save the ship. Basically, Paul was the only one on board enjoying the trip. Because he heard from God, he knew what was going to happen. He believed the Lord. And the other ones are still fretting, still working hard, still working their fingers to the bone, trying to save something that God says is going to go down. Friend, I think we worry a lot about things that are just a waste of time. Amen? We need to get in the Word of God and find out, thus saith the Lord, stand on His promises, and He will give us a peace in the midst of the storm that we can smile and have a joy even in the midst of life's heartaches. You see, that's the difference between God's people and the world. I've been at the deathbed of many people as they pass from this life into the next. I've been there with people who've walked with God and know the Lord, and I've seen that peace, not only in their life, but even in their family's life as that passing is happening. I've seen the other side of that coin of people who did not know the Lord and did not have that peace and going out into something they did not understand and was scary and they were fretful and they were... Listen, it's God that makes the difference. We go through the same stuff everybody else does. We are in the world, amen? And the hardships of life, we're dealing with them just like everybody else. The difference is we have the Lord. That's the difference in God's people. And as we go through these hardships and the world looks and they see us going through what they're going through, and yet, how come you're not freaking out like I am? And we can tell them because it's because of Jesus. My Father is in control. I trust Him. The providence of God. Amen. There was one guy on that boat enjoying the trip, and that was Paul, simply because he believed God. Friends, we live in a day when people are abandoning the ship at an alarming rate. The storms of life attack, and they run from the church, the old ship of Zion. I can remember when the best place for during a storm was to be in the ship. Amen. And friend, I believe that when life comes at us, more than ever, we need to run to the Lord. If you leave the ship, you might face the fury of that storm all alone. But thanks be to God, as we follow after Him, as we seek His will, as we trust Him, we can know, all right, He's here. I have His promises. And I know I have the providence of God. He's in control. The last thing is this. Look at verse 44. The strong anchor of the performance of God. What the Lord told Paul would happen did happen. Amen? Everyone made it safely to the shore. God kept His word. He spared everyone's life and proved Himself to be as good as His word, as He always will. God is able to work it all out, and He will get you through the storm and land you safe beyond it. It may look like this morning that the boat is about to sink in your life. It may look like the storms of life are going to prevail. However, when the waves have all settled down, when the winds have ceased their blowing, when the rains have abated, and when the storm clouds have moved off into the horizon, you will see that God was in control the whole time. I can promise you this. No storm will be able to blow you off of the course that God has determined for your life. He will secure you during that storm. And He will successfully deliver you safe to the harbor for His glory. Corrie ten Boom said this, quote, "When Jesus takes your hand, He keeps you tight. And when Jesus keeps you tight, He leads you through your whole life. And when Jesus leads you through your life, He brings you safely home." I would just remind you this morning that our God is a strong and powerful God. Luke 1:37, "For with God, nothing is impossible." Glory. Nothing is impossible with God. Job 42 in verse 2, "I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee." He can do anything that needs to be done. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." The fact of the matter is this, church. He didn't save us to lose His grip on us during the storm. Amen? He saved you so that He can take you home to glory. And that's just what He will do. And He will be faithful to use you in this life to bring glory and honor to Him. John chapter 6 and verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which He hath given me I shall lose nothing, but should rise or raise it up again in the last day." Verse 40 says this, "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Amen. So in conclusion, we see the strong anchor of the presence of God. We see the strong anchor of the promises of God. We see the strong anchor of the providence of God. And we see the strong anchor of the performance of God. Let me ask you this morning, have you set those anchors in your life? If you have, then you can weather life storms. And if you haven't, be prepared to be blown by the winds of the adversary. And I would encourage you this morning to come before the Lord and say something like this, "Lord, I can't fix my situation. I cannot calm the raging sea in my life. I cannot still the winds that blow against me. I need help today. By faith, I cast the anchor of Your presence, Your promises, Your providence, and Your performance in my stormy sea. And I'm resolved to trust You to walk out on that storm and speak peace when it's Your will to do so. And until then, Father, I will not fear. I will not fret. I will not fight. I will just simply trust You to do what is best." My friend, when you throw in the towel and come to the place where you totally trust before the Lord in your storm, it gets His attention. And you can be sure that He'll do something about your situation and speak peace to your heart. Amen. This morning, as I've spoken, this message has primarily been to God's people. But I tell you what, if you're here this morning and don't know the Lord as your Savior, listen. You're not here by accident today. If you feel a tug on your heart, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, God loves you and He wants to save you. The Bible says very clearly, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. You say, Jimmy, I'm a pretty good guy. Well, the problem is you're not good enough. Amen. You see, it's not Joe or Bob or Sister Sue. That's the mark. So, you know, you look around this room and find somebody that makes you look good. Say, at least I'm better than them. The problem is they aren't the mark. It's the holiness of God. And none of us can look God in the eye and say, God, I'm just as good as you are. And yet that's the mark. And that's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. But praise God, the Bible also says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died on the cross. He paid for your sin. He rose again on the third day. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll trust Jesus today, He will save you. He will come into your heart and life. And you can too have these great anchors in your life as the storms of life rage. Amen. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who would say this morning, say, Brother Jimmy, first of all, I don't know. I honestly don't know for sure that if I was to die today, that I would go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Would you just raise your hand? Please, no one looking around. Just raise your hand. Say, Jimmy, please pray for me. I'm not going to point you out. I would not embarrass you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Say, Jimmy, please pray for me. Well, I'm here to tell you today, dear friend, that today the Lord will save you if you'll just come in faith and say, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me and I accept your gift. Forgive me of my sin and come into my life. And Lord, I will serve you. I'm telling you, Jesus will save you. He came, the Bible says, to seek and to save that which was lost. You're the reason He came. So dear friend, today make that move. As we sing, I'm going to be standing up front. If you would like me to pray with you, I'd be happy to. The rest of you did not raise your hand. You know that you're saved. Let me ask you this morning, are you walking by faith and not by sight? Is there something in your life that's discouraging you and pulling you down? I would encourage you this morning to lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I don't understand this, but today I'm just letting you know, I trust you. And I'm going to rely on you, God, through this, even though I don't know. I'm going to rely on you to tell me what to do. I'm going to rely on you to tell me the next step. Because, God, honestly, I don't know what you're doing. But that's okay. I trust you. How many would say that this morning? Jimmy, that's me. I need to do that this morning. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Father, thank you for these hands that were raised, but more importantly, Lord, you know our hearts. And Father, may we respond to whatever you share and tell us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. As she leads us in a song, I'll be up front if you need to come. I'll be here and we won't prolong this. But the Lord.
Page 273, or you will find the words on the screen. Let's sing together.
was in prayer. Thank you so much for being here today. And if we can be of any help to you afterwards, please let me know. All right? And I hope y'all have a big shindig here next week for Pastor. Just love on him real big, him and his wife. And God will honor you for that. I appreciate your love for your preacher. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, that as even now, as I bow my head and pray, that God, I'm not just going through a religious activity, but God, the God of the universe, the one who spoke the world in place, God, you're hearing us. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that you are God. And Father, I pray that we would leave here today knowing that the God that we serve is mighty. And Lord, if you're for us, then who can be against us? And God, may we go out of here with a boldness, knowing that you're in control, and a faith, Lord, that will just anchor in you, and that we would keep our eyes on you. Lord, it's so easy, as Peter did, to get distracted from you and look around and see the water and the wind and the circumstance. But Father, may we keep our eyes focused on you, because, Lord, you are forever the same. You're faithful. And so, Lord, I pray that we will leave here today anchored in you and knowing that, Father, you are working in our lives. Thank you for doing that. And, Lord, I pray for Pastor as he's been gone, his wife, that you keep them safe in their travels. And, Lord, bring them back safely to this congregation. And, Lord, as we leave, that you would keep us safe. And Father, give us opportunity this week to share our faith with someone. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.